Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and I am Martin, joined by, well, he's the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcasts. And Brett, we have a guest on today that I have an awful lot of admiration for.
Oh, for sure. He's a wonderful guest. It's great to have him on again. He's the lead singer of Pretty Maids. Ronnie Atkins, great to have you back. And you've got the new solo album coming out March 12th, which is fantastic. Plus, it's a fantastic album. So thanks for being on the show again.
Nice to be here, man. Nice to be here.
I think it's probably fair to say, you know, in case the listeners don't know, if you can kind of give an update as your current status and what's going on with you.
You're talking about my health.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm good. I'm fine at the moment, you know. I mean, in fact, my illness and my cancer diagnosis is what actually kind of catalyzed the whole album in a way, you know. But like a year ago, around March, just after the lockdown last year, I was told that the cancer had spread to my bones, you know, so it was now stage four, you know, I kind of panicked for a long time. And since that, I've been through some treatments and I'm now on immune therapy and I'm actually feeling good. I just got a message last Friday that the last tests look good and everything, you know, so I'm still here, man. But what can I say? I'm good at the moment.
Well, that's excellent.
That's the good
that
news.
That means that
right?
Maybe this won't be a one shot.
I don't hope so. But the truth is that, and also which is I guess pretty easy to hear some of the lyrics. You know, I was really fucking desperate when I did this,
yeah.
Because I felt I was racing with time. I didn't even know I would be able to finish the album, and I was panicking. I was racing. It was a race with time. I felt I had a dagger hanging above my head. So. Because, you know, when I had this diagnosis, as I said, I panicked and I felt really bad for a long time. And you know, you go in and you read the statistics and that's really bad reading. You know, it's horrible reading. I mean, they say most people die within a year or something like that, you know. So, yeah, it was very frustrating. But I'm still here, man. I'm in the hands of good doctors. And, you know, it seems like the immune therapy is really helping me. So it doesn't work on everybody, but it apparently works on me. You know, I think that's what they say keeps the devil from my doorstep, so to speak. You know, I mean, I can't get it forever. You know, I can still get it a year or so from now on, you know, and then see what happens. And I hope they'll come up with something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. I guess given all of that and given your health now, how do you personally look back upon some of these songs and the place you're in?
Well, you know, it's I still whatever I wrote at a specific time, you know, that's how I felt at the time being, you know. I mean, so let me put it this way, that the lyrics, particularly some of them more than others, you know, are. Well, they're all honest. But, you know, the songs like One Shot and Real, where I'm really reflecting and a bit, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, in generally, the album is more emotional, more personal, more reflecting, more melancholic, maybe, than anything I've done before because of the situation, of course. But of course, there's another song that's not even on the album that'll probably come out later. I thought it was that's really really sad, you know. It's called Carry Me Over, but it's written. From how I felt at the time being, you know, I really thought that I didn't have much time left. So, I mean, when we did the album, it was done totally the opposite way that I normally would do an album. You know, normally you do all the basic tracks and stuff like that and do the vocals in the end, you know. This time we did, the songs were written. I sent it up to Chris in Stockholm, who did a demo, sent it back to me. I did the vocals, and then we could always fix the instrumentation afterwards in case I should die. You know, but it sounds very dramatic, but that's how I felt.
Yeah, it can't be easy to, of course, have that looming over you. But, I mean, it can also be easy to kind of do things in a different way when you've been doing them, you know, the other way your whole life, would it?
Yeah, but that was a challenge. But actually, it went pretty smooth. And, you know, I got to thank Chris for actually, you know, kicking my ass to get started on this back then, you know. And say, hey, man, send me your ideas, man. And I'll do the instrumentation. And just send along, you know, we'll get going. You know, he really pushed me. And it was a perfect collaboration. He's got a great set of ears. We want the same thing, you know. I mean, the thing is, you know, when you write songs, either on an acoustic guitar or a piano, yeah, they can go in whatever direction, really. A good song is a good song. And but we just decided on let's be a little old school here, you know. Let's go back to the '80s. And we did on some of the songs. He's a big '80s freak, and so am I. So it was pretty natural. It's pretty old school, you know. We didn't try to invent something new. Just felt. I mean, and that's another reason why I did it. You know, I felt I had all these good ideas, you know, and I was writing a lot at the time. Actually, since I was diagnosed with cancer in September 2019, when I was out of the hospital and everything, I started writing. That was my way of, you know, focusing on something positive, you know, and try to put the bad things away.
Well, it's an incredibly optimistic album. I mean, and not just lyrically, but also musically. Like, as I listen to it, I can't help but feel like, you know, I just have a good feeling in me, and it just kind of raises me up as I listen to it.
I'm happy to hear that, man. I'm happy to hear that. I didn't feel that good all the time, though. even some of the songs are personal and stuff. They're still positive in the way that, like, if you take like a song like One Shot, which is definitely, I mean, let me put it this way, there's more minor keys on the album, I guess, than majors, but it's positive in the way it says it's not necessarily about me having one shot at an album. That might have been, you know, and that might be, I don't know, that may be, but it's more the message that we have one shot in life, you know, in this life anyway, you know, and we just got to get the best out of it, you know. Don't save the best for last. Just go ahead, man. Do things. Do what you want to do. If possible. Now it's nothing that's possible because of this fucking COVID-19. But anyway, you know what
I mean. Yeah, I get that. But that is the message I took from the album very much. Is that exactly what you just said? Is that, live for today. You know, enjoy that moment. And because they're all precious.
In particular. I mean, I got a good example because my mom and dad, I come from a working class family, you know, background, and they worked hard all their life, and they wanted to enjoy life when they get old. You know, I had three siblings, so they had four kids to feed, and they always wanted to travel there, here and there, you know, when they got old. And then my mother died, actually, at my age, you know, actually from lung cancer. This is 32 years ago. And they never got anywhere, you know. You know what I'm saying? And that's when it's too late. Maybe tomorrow is too late. It may be, you know. Everything can happen.
Yeah, I got to say, like, Real is probably my favorite song on the album, but I really love One by One as well. It's just like I can't get Real out of my head. So that's probably a good
actually,
thing.
Actually, there we go. That's Miles Away is mine. So
okay.
We're all over the
Miles Away is also kind of reflecting, because that song is particularly it's written to my wife, you know, who's always been there when I was out fooling around the world and being the clown, you know. And she was always there, and she still is. She's been with me all the time. She's always there when I came home, you know. So that's a true love song dedicated to her, you know. So that's personal for me as well. And I like that song as well. But I mean, as a matter of fact, I like all the songs, to be honest. You know, I think it's 11 good songs, a little diverse, but anyways, you know, it's good melodies and stuff like that. So I'm happy about the song.
So then what was it like? I mean, you've got lots of great musicians. Like, how long did it take you to kind of bring in some of the musicians for it?
It was pretty simple. Actually, you know, Chris Laney is the producer, right? And he was doing this because of boredom, because of COVID, because of the lockdown. He was doing this At the Movies project, and he still is doing it. You know, you can find it out on YouTube, where they like to re-record old 80s hits, you know. And he got all his friends along. One of the, Pontus Norgren from Hammerfall, Pontus Hedberg, and Bjorn Street and Linnea, and my two ex-Pretty Mates guys, Alan and Morten, you know. So that is actually, then I participated in the Movies project. I was saying, I did a version of We Don't Need Another Hero. And that was the first song I did after I got sick and after the illness and everything, all the treatments. The first time I actually realized I'd actually hit the notes and still had the pipes, even though I lost 20% of my lung capacity and stuff like that, you know. But I was coughing for a long time. I didn't know I was able to sing. But I did that thing, and that song actually convinced me, hey, man, I can still do it, man. And that's when we decided, let's go for it. So to get back to your question, I mean, so all the people that play on that at the Movies Project is basically the sole foundation of this album. And then I brought in Oliver Hartman, my friend from Aventasia. You know, he was up visiting with his wife and last August. You know, I played him some songs, and they said, "Hey, man, I'd love to play on that." You know, so he did. He did some solos, and the rest of the guys, the guitarists, are friends of Chris, actually, including Key Marcello. You know, but they all did a fucking outstanding, great job. You know. So I didn't have to call upon services from any of my old friends, people in Imitation and stuff like that, which I probably would have done.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of Key Marcello. Like, what a fantastic player he is. I mean, so many great players, like I say, on the album. What did Key play on?
Well, he played on the song called Subjugated. And the funny thing is, because Chris said, well, I mean, we're talking about the Stockholm Mafia. Everybody knows each other up there, right? So you know, he's been producing some stuff, Easy Action for Key, and I said, "Hey man, should we get Key to play on the album?" I'll ask him, and Key was keen on doing it, and as a favor, you know. So I said, "Yeah, that'd be fucking cool." And I said, "Like, hey man, one of his guitar solo he's doing on Superstitious, the Europe song from '88, right? It's one of my favorites. It's so fucking melodic, you know, and you can hear that on Subjugated. I mean, it's so much him, you know. It just sounds fucking great, you know. He can still move his fingers, man. And I love that solo
for sure. Yeah, there's no question about it. And then,
yeah."
And then I guess, you know, when it comes down to like the track, you know, like the sequencing, did you have a lot of thoughts when it came to that?
Regarding what you say?
Like just the track order.
Oh, the track order. No, I mean, I just did the running order about. I've always, you know, write them down and say, this is that song is in that key and that key. And then I try to mix him a bit with some heavy stuff and some ballads, so it's not like two ballads in a row and stuff like that, you know. But it was difficult this time because there was a lot of songs I wanted to be in the front, you know what I'm saying? And because I mean, I as I said, you know, I think it's 11 good songs, you know. It's really difficult to choose, and also difficult to choose videos as well, you know. I mean, the singles, so that's a positive thing, I think.
Yeah, well, because it's interesting, because the videos are, of course, the first three songs on the album, which it's just like, are you going down the list? Going to do all 11?
Yeah, but I mean, we talked about a lot of different songs, actually, as possible singles, you know. So, I mean, I'd ask other people, some of the friends or the other musicians I played it to. So there was, like, different opinions about it, you know. So at the end of the day, it was like me and Chris actually decided, okay, so we do this, you know. One song we were... definitely, we actually both agreed on Real and One Shot, and One Shot is the second single. But the rest was difficult, you know. I mean, there were other songs, Picture Yourself, The Frequency of Love, I Prophesize were possibilities as well, you know. But I mean, but that's a positive problem when you have that problem.
Mm-hmm. So then, as far as like going out and shooting the videos, like. Obviously, we're still in COVID land, so how difficult is it compared to before?
Well, it's damn difficult, you know, because my whole idea was actually to go to Stockholm and use a guy that we used on the last Pretty Nights, two Pretty Nights videos. That was my initial plan, you know, in September. But, I mean, I couldn't go into Sweden. Suddenly, they closed the borders in Denmark, too, you know. So, I mean, so... The video is done so far, and the first video, Real, was like just filmed by individual iPhones and stuff like that, you know. But the second video, One Shot, I had to do here in my hometown with a young guy that produced the guy Jacob Hansen, you know, recommended to me. So, and he'll do another video as well. So it's just me performing on it, you know. I mean, what can I do? I can't meet with anybody else, you know. It's really problematic. So I had to go to this kind of plan B, you know. But I think this young fellow Nicholas, he did a good job anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're definitely good videos because they're very, you know, relative to the songs. And I think that it's just a nice, you know, it's just a nice visual to go with the songs.
Well, thank you. I mean, but I think Nichols, actually the first video, Real, is edited by Alan Sorensen, the drummer, you know, and he's been doing a lot of these at the movies things now, but he's doing a really good job, and I think Nicholas really caught the spirit of One Shot, actually, you know, so I'm pleased with it, absolutely.
Now you know, we are stuck in the world of COVID, so you can't go out and and played, I'm sure, the way you'd like it. Have you thought about doing some sort of virtual, one-shot concert with all the songs from this album?
Yeah, but we talked about it. We may do something at some point, but right now I can't go anywhere, So, I mean, I can't even go to Stockholm, right? So it's difficult. It's difficult right now. There's nothing planned. But we might do something at some point, Nobody really knows what happens, because every time you think you're just, now we're getting there, the vaccine program is going, and we can see light at the end of a tunnel and stuff like that, And then there's another mutation popping up, And fuck, it's not sometimes to feel it's like one step forward and two steps back, all over the world. So let's see what's happening. I don't know. And, for me, it's also, I can't just travel out of the country. I actually, in the situation, because I have cancer, I have to ask permission from the insurance company, And they go in and check my journals, And if everything is okay, they'll normally allow me, But if I've been to the doctor and complaining about pains in my back or something like 3 weeks ago, they might not give me permission to do it. Well, I can go anyway, but then I have to pay myself to get home if I get sick or if I get hospitalized or something like that, So everything is just more complicated, particularly for me right now. And I'm used to, in 2019, I was in and out of the country 70 times or something like that with the ventation and stuff, Oh, man. Oh, my God. It would have been a horror if I had to seek permission every time.
Oh, boy.
So COVID-19 combined with my situation is just even more fucked up, really.
Yeah. That's a shame. I hope there's some way you can figure that out and pull that together, because I think that would be, right now the fans need something like that as much as I think the musicians, given the fact that we haven't had a chance to go to see any live music, it's the closest we can get.
Absolutely. But I would love to gather with all the guys who played on this album, let do something like that at some point, So let's see if it's possible at some point. We might do it. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to get better. It's going to get better. We'll get through all this.
Oh, we will eventually. At some point, we will. Yeah.
So the other song I wanted to ask you about is Scorpio, just because, are you a Scorpio?
I am, yeah.
Me too. All right, maybe that's why that song speaks so much to me. I get it.
You recognize yourself in it?
I think so.
You know how it is with zodiacs. You can always find some things that, that could be me, and stuff like that. And things that are not, But actually, there's a couple of things in that song that I recognize in myself too. So.
All of it, as you say, but yeah, definitely some things. Definitely some things.
All the good things, All the good
I'd
things.
Like to think so. People don't say many good things about me, so.
No, exactly.
You're Danish there.
Yeah. Or Brett likes to call me Brett likes to call me Den Martian. So I don't know. I don't know about that.
Den Martian. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah, but when I had to write the lyrics for Scorpio, it was just because sometimes I've been into, it's fun to write about these zodiacs anyway. I just felt at some point I was so much caught in the zone of writing about these personal things. I just thought in the end, I got to get away from this topic, from my own frustration and stuff like that, and write about something else. It's just like, I couldn't focus on anything for a while, and it's hard to write about the Dungeons and Dragons and sex, drugs, and rock and roll when you're in this situation,
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah. How cathartic was it? How much, when the album was actually finished, did it feel like a weight was lifted off because you have this, now to put out to the world and reflect upon your situation?
Yeah, but the funny thing is when I started doing this, I didn't actually think at all, to be honestly, in commercial terms. The first thing, my first, what I really wanted to do, the main thing for me was to, as I said before, to focus on something good and positive, to occupy myself with something else than all this disease shit and stuff like that. So that was my first point. So when I finally did the album, I was and I think the album was ready around late October, first of November, And I just felt happy that I reached the goal I set for myself. And I was relieved, of course, in a way, but I was also just very happy that the way it came out, you know, happy for the result of it.
Do you are you normally a very goal-oriented person?
I don't know. I mean, normally I'm the kind of guy that if I got a deadline, I'll stick to that deadline, you know. I mean, I don't know if I'm goal-oriented. Yeah, well, I am. If I tell myself something, I want to do that, then I normally always care, you know, go through it, and I carry on until I've reached that goal. Because I mean, you know, when I was 10 years old or something, I think I went to some of the first concerts in the 70s. You know, I went to, I think it was a Sweet concert, it was Susy Quattro or something like that, and I idolized all the whole glam thing at that time, being around 74, 75, and my dream was just, it was always in the cards. I got to be up there one day. I want to be one of those guys. I want to be a rock star. I want to be a singer, a songwriter. You know, I want to be able to, you know, write my own stuff, go into the studio, record it. And one day I want to be up there, play my own songs in front of an audience, you know. That's a goal I set. And I said to my friends when I was around 15, 16, I said, hey, man, within a year or so, I bet you I got a record deal. actually, I did. You know, I was 17 when I got the first record deal, and I met Ken, you know, from Pretty Mates, Ken Hammer, and we had the same goal. We had the same dream, and we believed so much in ourselves that we were totally convinced we would do it one day, and we did.
Well, I think that's the reason why you had that success. Yeah, but you saw it in your mind.
You got to believe in yourself, man. If nobody else mm-hmm. does, you do. You have to.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then how is the reaction been? I mean, it, like, from your social media, it looks like the fan reaction to the album has been great. But like, from your perspective, what would you say it's like?
Until now, it's been overwhelming from the, you know, reactions I've seen on the first singles, but I also saw the first couple of reviews coming in today, that all a couple of days ago. The first 5-6 reviews I've seen, it's been absolutely amazing. I'm really thankful and, you know, grateful. I mean, I'm so happy that people like it, you know. So yeah, what can I say? Very happy. You're always very anxious to, when it's the first solo albums. It's all, what are people? Are people going to dig this and stuff like that, you know? And it seems until now, what I've seen so far, it's just been positive, really. Haven't seen any bad ones yet. Probably come along, but haven't seen them yet.
Seems unlikely, but
how much do the fans, the loyalty of the fans that you have, how much does that mean to you?
Well, the loyalty of the fans means everything, you know, because I mean, that's because of them that I'm still here. I mean, I'm still in the business, you know, because a lot of people have been supportive of me and the band, you know, for throughout 40 years, you know, and now these are the last 10 years we've been on a roll in Pretty Mates, you know, and I'm really happy for what we achieved, and we kind of proved that we were still relevant to the scene. We see all the old fans coming and bringing their kids, you know. That's amazing, you know. And no, I'm very, 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 very happy that the fans are so loyal, and also I'm very grateful for all the nice messages I've had, and greetings, the encouragements, all the support I've had through my illness as well. It means a lot, you know, because on those dark and gray days when you're down and you read some of those, it's really nice. It's heartwarming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm interested. Like, did you send out some of the songs or the album to Ken or anybody else in the Pretty Maids or just anybody that you've worked with along the way, just to kind of get a sense, or did you kind of keep it between you and Chris?
No, we didn't. We didn't send it out to anybody. Nobody heard it, actually. Not at all. Not at all. It was a secret. No.
Secret.
No, I mean, everybody in the band, pretty much. Well, there's not much dialogue going on within the band. We haven't seen each other since like September 2019 when we played the last case, because we split out all over Europe. And I think people are doing their own individual things and projects. But no, this was just this. And I didn't want to have anybody else involved. I already had three Mates members and ex-members involved in this project. You know, I didn't want it to be a Pretty Mates Part 2, really, you know. It's enough me singing on it, you know. So no, I didn't. We didn't play it to anybody actually. Maybe played it to one of my friends and stuff like that, you know. But not a lot of people heard it.
How many other songs, like you mentioned the one song, but like how many other songs do you have that didn't make it onto the album that you wound up writing and kind of producing?
Not really, not any finished songs. I have a lot of ideas still, and I got some songs that I haven't started recording yet. You know, I'm still writing. I'm writing all the time. You know, that's all I can do right now. So I'm working on new music always, kind of. You know, I get a good idea, I record it on my iPhone, and then one day I'll pick it up or I'll use it for another idea. Have some, you know, glue them together or something like that. So that's what I'm gonna start doing now. Like really looking into doing something, do some more, you know, finish off some stuff, you know.
But, how is the figure? Go ahead.
Sorry. No, but I mean, I haven't set a plan or anything or a deadline that I want to do a new album. I'm just writing, see what comes along.
Does it, do the ideas that kind of come to you, like, just suddenly it comes to you and then you sing it into your phone? Or is it that you see something and you think, I want to write about that, and you work on it? What's kind of the process?
It depends, you know. It's very well. Sometimes I can get, if we got guests home, you know, I get an idea while we're sitting eating, having some red wine or whatever. Often when I have some red wine, you know, and I'll tell the guy, hey, excuse me, I gotta go upstairs. I'll be back down in 10 minutes. And then I go up and record it on my piano or guitar on my iPhone and sing the melody. And I can get an idea if I'm driving the car, you know. I can get an idea. In the morning, early in the morning, and then I had to get up and record it, you know. I used to have, when I was younger, before the iPhones and smartphones came along, I always had dictaphones in my car and in several rooms in my house and stuff like that, in case I had an idea. So I get, sometimes I get ideas from watching television. I can get a lyric idea or something like that. But, or a movie or something, or a good say or something like that, you know. But normally it's the, normally I get a melody and I just got to record it. Sometimes if I play the guitar or play the piano, I'll get ideas there, you know. It's really, it could be either this or that, you know. It's in different ways, really.
Not just one way, which is interesting.
No, it's not. It's not. And it comes at the most weird times. Sometimes
I could see that as well. Yeah, so you must have, then it sounds like you probably have ideas for songs, a huge archive for ideas for songs that probably never got made over the years. Have you ever gone back into your archives and looked at them? I mean, that I know that's more than there's a few people that we've talked to that during COVID, that's what they've been doing. They have all these archives of, and they're going back through and seeing if there's anything they missed that's worth doing because they have nothing else to do, you know.
Well, I'm just doing that now, actually, these days, because and I did it a year and a half ago a year ago when I did the album, you know, and I borrowed little bits and pieces here and there, you know. I took a bridge from that idea and stuff. Oh, that's a great, nice chorus, you know, stuff like that. And that's what I'm doing now. And I still got a lot of stuff, man. But the thing is, you also write a lot of new stuff, you know, so you never get it used, really, you know. But I still got it. I'm going through it. I got from 2015 up until now, you know, and I'm in 2019 now. So
almost there.
That's some good stuff. That's some good stuff that I know for sure I'm going to use.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Do you have a preference then, like between starting to write on the piano or the guitar?
I normally always wrote. Hey, listen. First of all, I'm neither a guitarist or a pianist. I mean, I always love playing, fiddle around with the piano, and I bought a piano January last year, and actually a lot of songs were written on that piano. Like One Shot was entirely written on that piano, and Miles Away as well. You write differently when it's on a piano. It inspires you in a different way. But a lot of stuff is written on acoustic guitar, or I got a Fender Stratocaster in there, an amplifier. So it's depending on what kind of mood I'm in. You know?
How long do you find, like, I mean, being not a guitarist or a pianist, like, how long do you find that it takes you to kind of get where you want to go?
Well, I'm enough guitarist and enough piano player. So if you've got a melody in your head, and I can play chords and stuff like that, you know. But I'm no Eddie Van Halen, rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? I can't do without all the shredding and all that stuff, you know. But I can play chords. You know? I also played acoustic guitar live sometimes. I'd rather not, you know, because I think I should stick to singing, you know. The truth is, I actually wanted to first of all, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a drummer. And then I wanted to be a bass player. I wanted to be a guitarist. And I always ended up, whatever band I was in, I always ended up singing because nobody else could. So, you know, but that's okay. I'm fine with that now. But it depends on what inspires you. It inspires you in different ways.
Yeah, well, I mean, you should stick with the singing because you're a heck of a singer. So let's do that, you know?
Yeah, I think you got a future in singing if you just stick with it a little longer.
Thank you. But I mean, I definitely hope I must be a better. I'm definitely a better singer than I'm a guitarist or piano player. That for sure.
Are you a better singer now than when you started? Do you think?
I think I am actually. Well, yeah. Of course, I got more experience now. I'm matured. You know, actually, I've been doing pretty good. Personally speaking, I'm a self-made man. I never took lessons or anything like that, and I have a totally fucked up technique, by the way. You know, but anyway. But it works, you know, and I actually been, I don't know what happened when we did the Pandemonium album. It was like I had a rebirth as a singer. I had a second coming kind of thing. I don't know what happened. I also think there's some mental to it, you know, if you feel good about it and stuff like that. Because I had some issues with my voice in the 90s, in the late 90s at some point, you know. So I kind of changed my technique a little bit, you know. But then we were not doing much from 2002 up till 2009 for various reasons, and it was just like I got the fire back when we did the Pandemonium album. I think everybody did in the band, but I've been doing pretty good. In 2019, before all this happened, I toured for 11 weeks with Avantasia, and I was on a roll, you know. So it was really a pain in the ass all this shit happened. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Have you had to change your lifestyle much, you know, recently with everything that's been going on?
Not really. I mean, I quit smoking. Actually, I quit smoking a year and a half before I had the lung cancer diagnosis. But I'm trying to stick to my daily routines. You know, particularly right now, I'm doing something called medical fitness. You know, where I go every day, an hour and a half or 2 hours. To keep up my stay in a good condition and stuff like that. Can't really lift weights because I have some problems with my shoulder, some nerve damage, pains and stuff like that I'm dealing with. But it's a side effect from surgery and radiation, you know. So, but I can do some jogging and stuff like that, you know, running a little bit, biking a little bit and stuff like that. So cross training. And that I do without and enjoy, you know. And I do that, and I do what I normally would do every day. Lay on the couch, you know, watch television, you know. Now, the thing is that I love to go around rocking, singing with my dog, my French bulldog. It's so funny when I yell and scream when I warm up and sing, you know, it sings with me. It's so funny. You should hear one day. I think I put it out on the internet, actually, on my Facebook at some point. But right now, my wife is working from home, you know, because they can't meet up at the job, you know. So we're walking, we're together all the time, you know. So I try to take some long walks in the woods and stuff like that, and basically trying to maintain being myself, you know. I still, because I've been sick and diagnosed with cancer, I still have the same sense of sick humor and that kind of stuff, you know. I just try to just trying to be me, really, you know. Keep that part of me. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be an old bitter man just sitting down feeling pity for myself. You know, I don't need that. So
I have to tell you, I really do believe that this album's every bit as good as Pandemonium, which is, you know, though, I mean, that has Little Drops of Heaven, which would still be my favorite song you've worked on, because that's a killer song. Good Lord. Yeah, absolutely. We're getting near our time with you here. We want to give you a chance to, you know, definitely plug everything and let everybody know where they can keep up with you and keep the latest updates on Ronnie Atkins.
Yeah. What the latest update is, but I told you. but that's cool, man. But I said, I'm good, you know, I'm feeling okay, you know. I just hope people like the album. absolutely.
And where can they find the album? Where's the best place to find the album? And do you have any social media or anything like that you can tell people to follow you on?
No, you can order. Well, I've got my social media, Ronnie Atkins Facebook side, and I'm on Instagram. And, but you can go in and you can get the album on Amazon and check it on Frontiers Records, you know, where you can get the album on the internet, for sure. Well,
It's a pleasure, and I got to say, I have a whole bunch of family between Aalborg and Aarhus, probably mispronouncing the names. That's where the majority of my family is. So if you see any of them, say hi for me.
I will. I mean, there's a lot of people called Chris Jensen over here, man. I'm telling you. but it's not too far from where I live. You know, Denmark's a very little country. I'm living in Jutland. Exactly. It's like 70 kilometers from Aarhus. So, yeah. Yeah, but that's funny. It's a small world.
It is a small world.
It is.
Well, Ronnie, thank you so much for your time again. It's wonderful to chat with you, and wonderful album. And I urge everybody to go out and listen to it. And most importantly, I urge everybody to go out and buy it on March 12th because fantastic stuff. So all the best, and I look forward to another solo album and another 50 years.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, guys.
Another 10 more solo albums,
yep.
20 more Pretty Maids albums. That's what we're looking for.
I still got more to give, man. I hope I can live for years and years. I hope so. Let's see. Nobody knows the future. We could be run over by a truck anyway. So, but that's the truth, man. Fingers crossed, man. I'm still here. I'm still around. I'm still feeling good. So, and it was nice talking to you guys, man. So, you take care over there. And hopefully we'll talk some other time.
I think that sounds good. All right. Thanks a lot, Ronnie.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. Bye. This good life.